Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as the fabric of this nation.
As many of you know, Minnesota is drowning in fraud.
In Minnesota, a state with the largest Somali immigrant population in the United States, extensive welfare fraud schemes have siphoned billions of taxpayer dollars from federal and state programs, primarily orchestrated by members of the Somali community. The most notorious case, Feeding Our Future, involved fake nonprofits submitting bogus meal claims during the COVID-19 pandemic, defrauding over $250 million in child nutrition funds.
A brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color. According to court documents, they dug up information on her family online and even put a GPS tracking device on her car to track her whereabouts. During their investigation, investigators uncovered a video of one of the defendants leaving a bag of money at the juror's home.
Similar scams have targeted Medicaid's autism services, where providers inflated diagnoses among Somali children, jumping from $3 million in spending in 2018 to $399 million in 2023.
According to the charging documents, Hassan worked with others to recruit families from the Somali community, whether kids had autism or not. Prosecutors write that there was no child that Smart Therapy was not able to get qualified for autism services. Then, to drive up enrollment, they paid monthly kickbacks to families between $300 to $1,500 per child. Prosecutors say Hassan and her partners paid for it all through the millions worth of fraudulent Medicaid claims.
It didn't matter if the kids had autism. And what happened? Autism claims to Medicaid surged. In 2018, $3 million. By 2023, listen here, from $3 million to $400 million.
While housing stabilization programs created fictitious companies to build for non-existent services.
At the August trial for Abdi Fattah Yusuf, the jury heard evidence that he ran his home health care company, Promise Health, out of a mailbox at a Central Avenue address where multiple other home health care companies were supposedly located. Yusuf and his wife, Lowell Ahmed, were charged with stealing $7.2 million of taxpayer money through Medicaid overbilling in a personal care assistant, or PCA, scam. Despite the jury swiftly convicting Yusuf, Judge Sarah West last week decided they got it wrong. Judge West ruled that the state's case relied heavily on circumstantial evidence. Jurors in the case can't believe the decision.
I am shocked. I'm shocked based off of all of the evidence that was presented to us and the obvious guilt that we saw based off of the said evidence. It was not a difficult decision whatsoever.
Federal prosecutors, led by acting U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, have issued 77 indictments in the Feeding Our Future case alone, with additional charges in autism and welfare fraud totaling at least 28 scandals since 2019, amounting to an estimated $1 billion in losses. These frauds extend beyond mere theft, with investigations revealing that millions of the stolen funds were funneled back to Somalia through informal hawala networks, ultimately supporting the al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group al-Shabaab. Some defendants in the Feeding Our Future case donated to prominent Democrats, including Attorney General Keith Ellison, and lobbied figures like Representative Ilhan Omar and former Senator Omar Fateh, who advocated for the programs.
And I want to thank also Amy and her team, Feeding Our Future, for making this first court victory a reality.
Things are heating up as President Trump terminated temporary protected status for Somalis in Minnesota on November 22nd, 2025, labeling the state a hub of fraudulent money laundering. Under Waltz's watch, John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment, like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it, or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. Different location today. We're in Washington, D.C., swamp territory. Got a lot to cover here, of course. As many of you know, as an independent journalist, I've just recently been credentialed to cover the Pentagon. And so here I am getting ready for a very interesting week ahead. So thank you for jumping on with us. A lot going on over here. We're excited that you're here. You're joining us. We're going to dig into a lot of different topics, obviously, folks. Now, again, it was a holiday week, so we missed out on a lot. I'm going to catch you up on all of the important things as well. I wanted to remind our audience, too, that we are live, of course, on our InfoWars X page, as well as my Twitter page, too. So make sure you give both a follow. But we're going to kick things off by recapping the devastating news that took place in Washington, D.C. just a few days ago. As many of you guys know, there was an Afghan terrorist who made his way to Washington, D.C. and committed an absolute heinous crime, shooting two West Virginia National Guardsmen. Now, sadly, one of those guardsmen, Becca Strumman, has passed away. She was 20 years old and was just sworn in prior to all of this. It's an absolute devastating story, of course. But it doesn't end there. There is still a second guardsman fighting for his life. Andrew Wolf, we're told that he is expected to survive, it looks like. Thank God. And we have been praying for him and his family. The White House yesterday saying that they've invited both families to the White House to meet President Donald Trump, obviously. But folks, this was preventable. This was preventable. And we're going to be digging into all of this throughout today's show, of course. So just something to keep in mind. But again, this was a so-called 29-year-old Afghan refugee. Now, keep in mind, they always say how old they are, but it doesn't mean that's their actual age. A lot of these individuals came in. They didn't have the documents to verify who they were. And we only have what they told us to go off of. Now, as many of you guys know, Joe Biden and the members of the Biden regime obviously leading a horrific exit from Afghanistan back in 2021. And it was so egregious. It cost, obviously, the lives of several service members because he was just so incompetent to be able to lead that exit. And on top of everything, we took in thousands and thousands of unvetted Afghan refugees. And I kind of want to just toss out the unvetted argument later in the show. We'll talk about that and why. The unvetted argument, whether they're vetted, unvetted, it doesn't even matter anymore. We're learning more and more about this shooter, and he is somebody who apparently didn't have any red flags. Now, this is a red flag for our audience, at least. When he was in Afghanistan, according to reports, he assisted U.S. forces, including the CIA, in Afghanistan. That's very, very concerning, of course. So this is someone who worked with the CIA. Now, the details in regards to what he was doing are quite limited, of course. We're going to keep digging into that and bring you the latest as we learn more about his background. Now, yesterday, President Trump spoke openly about how he's reached out to both of the guardsmen's families. Take a listen to clip one.
spectrums to the White House? Do you
plan
to?
Yeah, I do. I've already suggested it. I said, when you're ready, because that's a tough thing, come to the White House. We're going to honor Sarah. And likewise with Andrew, recover or not, we're going to honor
And Mr. President, one more question about Witkoff.
Now, they are going to hopefully make their way to the White House very, very soon. And guys, the goal here, the left is sitting here and they're constantly going after President Trump's decision to bring the guardsmen into D.C. Now, obviously, they're here because they're supposed to be making it safer, something Democrats were unable to do. And that's intentional, of course. And so right now we have this massive, massive issue. We have an issue right now with Democrats now criticizing President Trump for simply trying to make D.C. safe and bring the guardsmen in. Now, the Attorney General Pam Bondi yesterday in clip two spoke openly about the guardsmen and what their role is here and how they're not going to back down anytime soon. In fact, they're going to be stepping up and bringing the National Guardsmen to states and cities all over the country. Take a listen.
Working hand in hand with Secretary Noem, Homeland Security. Director Patel has already arrested 500 suspected terrorists since January 20th. We're working hand in hand with Pete Hegseth. And yes, we are bringing in our National Guard to every city we possibly can. Who needs our help? And that's a lot of them. We're tied up, as you know, in a lot of court hearings right now. These young men and women in the Guard, they want to help our country. They want to be here. They are patriots, yet they will not be attacked by a radical Islamic terrorist who screams by reports, Ali Akbar, before shooting two of our guard members and almost killing more.
Yeah, can you?
Almost killing more. Thank God he was unable to do just that. Other brave guardsmen jumping in to block him from creating an insane catastrophe. And I also want to shift gears over to the angle in regards to the vetting process. Now, here's something that I think is very, very interesting. Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary yesterday, on clip three, came out and she said that this was somebody who acted alone. Now, let's keep in mind, folks, we have right now DHS, we have Pam Bondi, we have the FBI, all saying that this individual was radicalized here on U.S. soil. And somehow, some way, they're now telling us in clip three that he acted alone. Take a listen.
Do you know what the motive was at this point? Do you believe the suspect acted alone?
You know, we're still going through all of that information, and I'll let the FBI and DOJ reveal new information. But I will say we believe he was radicalized since he's been here in this country. We do believe it was through connections in his home community and state, and we're going to continue to talk to those who interacted with him, who were his family members, talk to them. So far, we've had some participation, but anyone who has information on this needs to know that we will be coming after you and we will bring you to justice. We absolutely will persecute you because we do know that we will never allow this to continue to happen in our country. Allow individuals who came to our country that were unvetted by Joe Biden, allowed to run free and loose. We are going to bring them to justice and make sure that they're returned out of this country if they aren't here for the purposes of being an American.
Folks, she continues to use the words unvetted, and we're going to get to that because regardless if they're vetted or unvetted, it's quite obvious that this individual, like they say, was radicalized here on U.S. soil. So why are we bringing them here in the first place? Serious question that needs to be examined. And if you're reading the mainstream media right now, brace yourself. They want empathy for the suspect. In fact, the Associated Press, which usually does actually do fluff pieces for Islamic terrorists quite often, released the very latest story. They are saying that the individual, obviously the suspect, was someone who was dealing with mental health issues, that he was not functioning as a person, father, or a provider since March of 2023. They also add that he quit his job just the month before, and he had behavioral issues as well. And they describe the change as greatly. He changed greatly is what they're kind of diving into there. Now, the source is asking to be anonymous, and the Associated Press did let them remain anonymous. But they keep going and saying that he sometimes had manic issues, manic episodes, they added. He would take off in his family car, drive nonstop. Once he went to Chicago, another time went to Arizona. I wonder why. I wonder why. Folks, it's not just a manic break when you drive all the way to Washington, D.C. with the gun and you shoot two guardsmen just 24 hours after they took the oath. You shoot him in the head. This is not someone who just had a manic break. This is someone who obviously is an Islamic terrorist. There's no other way to look at this. And our government hopefully doesn't want to add the fluff to it, but we've had enough of this. We've had enough. The Associated Press and other outlets, even the New York Post, putting out stories trying to get you to garner some empathy for this individual. I lack empathy for people like this. In fact, all my empathy is with the actual victims of this crime. They didn't have to have this happen to them. They did nothing. Nothing. And it's gut-wrenching that we continue to go over all of this time and time again. Today on today's show, let me remind you, I have been going after the federal government, trying to get answers in regards to the Afghans that were brought into our military bases all across the country. Many of you guys know there was a massive effort, also known as Operation Allies Welcome, where thousands of Afghans were brought into our country, and we've been screaming about it for months now. We didn't know who these people were. They quickly jumped on planes, and because it was so chaotic, nobody cared. They brought them right in to the United States. And so although we sit here and we bicker back and forth, vetted, unvetted, vetted, unvetted, the reality of it is sometimes you can't even vet these people appropriately. That's something in clip five. You're going to hear Tom Homan say, and he's very, very clear. There is no system in place to actually screen these people. Because guess what? Do you think Afghanistan ever created a database of their terrorists? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Take a listen to the border czar, Tom Homan, and how he details just that.
Understand, and these third world nations, they don't have systems like we do. So a lot of these Afghanistans, when they did get here and get vetted, they had no identification at all. Not a single travel document, not one piece of identification. And we're going to count on the people that run Afghanistan, the Taliban, to provide us any information who the bad guys were or who the good guys are? Certainly not. And many people need to understand that most terrorists in this world, most of them, aren't in any database. Because unless they were found on a battlefield by DOD in the retina scan and did some biometrics there, unless you're part of a T3 undercover investigation, we don't know who they are. So in the same thing with illegal aliens, that over 10 men that came across the border in Joe Biden, there's no way to vet these people. You think El Salvador or Turkey or Sudan or any of these countries have the databases or system checks that we have? Do you think the government of China, Russia, Turkey, you think they're going to share that data with us even if they did have it? There's no way to clearly vet these people, you know, 100% that they're safe to come in this country, from these third world nations. President Trump's doing the right thing, reviewing every one of these people who came under the Biden administration and drilling down on them. I really, truly think that most of them are going to end up being deported because we're not going to be able to properly vet them.
There's no way to properly vet them. You heard Tom Homan say it. Why the heck do we bring them here? Why the heck do we still have them living here? There's no way to tell who's a terrorist and who's not. And that is the reality going on right now. Even Kristi Noem has said it to you guys before, and not just her, Pam Bondi as well. So, folks, it continues to get worse and worse. The New York Post actually broke this exclusive over the weekend, and it's a very, very interesting exclusive, one that is worth your attention. Take a look at this. The numbers are absolutely insane. Somehow, someway, the New York Post got their hands on a document from DHS, and in that document, it says that there's more than 5,000 Afghans brought into the United States from the withdrawal that got flagged for national security issues. National security issues. In all, the feds uncovered potentially almost 7,000, we'll say, 6,868 people who came in from Afghanistan as part of Joe Biden's Operation Allies Welcome Program. People who were who threw up a lot of red flags in their system, we could say. And when it came to public safety concerns, there was about 956 of those people. And 876 were flagged for fraud, according to the data that's been provided to the New York Post from DHS. And if you're wondering what happened when we brought these people into our country, well, one would assume, given the fact that we just saved them from the Taliban, that they'd be grateful. According to reports from back in 2022,
Afghan refugees cause about $260 million in damages while living on our military bases. Our military bases house over 120,000 Afghans, and they somehow, some way, caused $260 million in just damages alone. Now, again, that information comes from a Pentagon report. If you're wondering what they did to cause all of that, well, they vandalized the place. Broken furniture, exhausted the stockpiles, blocked the plumbage systems. This is the kind of people who we brought into our country, and obviously it was hidden. People like Dan Crenshaw, though, wanted our country to speed up the vetting process. It was just unearthed, thanks to Ken Webster. This letter from the so-called Republican congressman from the great state of Texas, in this letter, he is asking, of course, DHS to speed up the vetting process. Let them all in. And his wish was their command. The Biden administration, according to their own archived DHS website, did just that. They waived filing fees and introduced an expedited process for Afghan nationals who were granted, obviously, this parole period within the United States back on July of 30th of 2021. So we help push these people into our country. And this is according to our own DHS website. This isn't a big conspiracy theory. The Biden regime intentionally pushed these people forward. And all of the luxuries that you and I both would never have, they received. They were given an expedited process and they were shuffled into this country quickly. It literally says streamlined. Folks, I can't even get it. Let's pull it up. Streamlined. I mean, this is what they were doing. They weren't even hiding this. This is straight up from the DHS website, folks. Archived. Streamlined processing for Afghan nationals. This document dated November 8th, 2021. This is what they were doing. Now, again, the numbers, the data, all horrific. All horrific. But it's not surprising. And folks, for years now, I have been trying my very best to dig into the numbers regarding crime. And we're going to do that in just a little bit. But first, you know, we have Mark Lucas joining us. And I want to get his take on it because we had him on the show a couple of months ago. And I don't know if you saw the clip. It's actually gone viral. He actually reminded us of it when he detailed what he witnessed when he was in Afghanistan serving and how he had to protect white female service members because those in Afghanistan were looking to assault them. Again, we're going to have him on the show to detail what he experienced and have him walk us through it. And then I want to bring up a great point in regards to what happened when we shuffled these individuals onto our military bases. Well, violence surged. We were learning about all of the violent attacks that took place on these military bases, such as sexual assault of children, of women. And then after we reached at least six cases that were publicly available for us to see, all of a sudden it stopped. But did those assaults actually stop? Well, that's one question I have for our Pentagon, and I look forward to asking that in person this week, of course. We're going to dig into this. We're not letting these cases go away. And as infuriating as it is, and because these are our friends, so we do have some type of empathy and we don't want to be cruel. But I've been asking the FBI about this for quite some time now. And unfortunately, even this weekend, after I gave them an extensive amount of time to respond to me in regards to the female U.S. service member who was assaulted on their military base, the FBI leading the investigation, well, unfortunately, the FBI saying they don't have any information to give me on that. It's been 4 years and our own FBI can't seem to tell me what the heck happened there. They were the lead agency in charge of investigating this assault by a group of Afghan men and one of our female service members. And still to this day, I've submitted several FOIA requests. I've reached out to the FBI several times, including under this new leadership. And because they're friends, we have done our very best to extend time and time again the arm of just leniency and ask them, please, can you just give me an update? This is not going to look good for you if you do not give us some type of update as to where your investigation stands. Where are those men? Were they released into the United States? Well, I'm going to detail it all for you, but they will not give me anything. In fact, that email's from 2024 when they told me, FOIA requests, submit your FOIA request. I submitted the FOIA request. They turned me down then and said, no, sorry, no FOIA request. Can't do anything there. It's a privacy issue is what they told me. It's a privacy issue. And so under this new leadership, I asked their media relations team again. And sadly, this weekend, after telling them you're not being transparent like you committed to, they still will not tell me what's going on here. We have that email too. They're just saying no comment. So we're going to dig into that in the second hour of the show because there's a lot of exposing to do there. Plus, I don't think a lot of people realize, but there was an Afghan man who even shot at police last year and he lost his life. But the words, the message he had prior to the shooting tells you everything you need to know. We're going to play that clip for you as well. A lot to dive into, obviously, today. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We've got so many incredible items on sale. And it's just in time, obviously, for the holidays. So if you're looking to get a great gift for your loved ones, this is the time to do so. We have the Cyber Monday deal going on right now. 60% off the entire site. Lasts about another 15 hours. So stop what you're doing now. Stock up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. So many of your favorite items now on sale, on prices. We've actually never seen prices this low before. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Also, if you haven't done so already, the best way to stay in touch with us in case we do, you know, have to change over because of the cruel people looking to take over InfoWars and silence our voices, you got to head on over and download the app, alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. That is how you stay in touch with us, of course, and how we continue this information war because their attempts to silence us will not, well, they won't land. We won't let them do that. And folks, we have Mark Lucas, like I told you, coming onto the show to detail what he witnessed specifically in Afghanistan. And plus, he's going to react to the very latest in Venezuela as well, because President Trump issuing a very stern warning for Nicolas Maduro, get out or we'll force you out. That's what it sounds like is taking place. So we look forward to having that discussion with Mark Lucas as well in just a few moments. He's joining me in the next segment. We're also keeping our eye, of course, on the White House right now. There's a press briefing scheduled for 1 p.m. Eastern time, and President Donald Trump is expected to sign congressional bills at 4 p.m. Eastern time today as well. That is what is on the agenda for today. Also, folks, tomorrow's show, we got a packed house here. A lot of your favorite members on the Hill, and I know we don't have many, but we've got a very limited amount of freedom fighters, and they're going to be joining me in studio tomorrow. A lot to unpack there. I will not be hosting American Journal. I'm actually swapping with Harrison Smith. Harrison will be filling in for me on American Journal, while I will be flipping on over to the War Room, and we will have a packed house of your favorite politicians. And I know a lot of us don't have a lot of favorite politicians. I can promise you, these are the really, really good ones. Like Congressman Troy Nehls will be joining me. And as many of you guys know, Troy Nehls just announced that he will not be seeking re-election. Now, he's been the freedom fighter on a lot of fronts, specifically January 6th. And so the fact that he is bowing out has me a little concerned. I look forward to having that discussion with him tomorrow and bringing him in. So a lot going on over here. We are doing our very best to keep you up in the know, of course. Don't go anywhere. Mark Lucas joining me in just a moment.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. It'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing them of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Auctions Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at theauctionstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own theauctionstore.com. I don't own the Auctions Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on, and they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates, you share them everywhere, you take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money, so we sell you great products that really work, so it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWar has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning, everyone. We are coming to you live from Swamp Territory here in Washington, D.C., live from the Rumble studio. And we are very thankful that Rumble has allowed us to use their sets to bring you the American Journal today. Obviously, a lot happening all across the country. We were following that story regarding that Afghan terrorist that drove all the way to D.C. to shoot two guardsmen. The story, the details are absolutely horrific. We'll bring Mark Lucas in just a second. He is obviously a veteran, and he knows Afghanistan very, very well in regards to who these people are that we've brought in. And so I've got a lot of serious questions that we need to ask in regards to that. But most importantly, folks, I wanted to make sure we kept you in the loop. I just got an alert in regards to Alina Habba. As many of you guys know, she is the interim U.S. attorney in New Jersey. Well, an appellate court just found just a few moments ago that she's unlawfully serving as the top prosecutor in New Jersey, delivering a blow to the Trump administration, obviously, as he fights to keep her in her place as one of his preferred nominees. The Trump administration could ask for a full panel of Third Circuit judges to reconsider this decision, or it could turn to the Supreme Court to weigh in. And we're going to keep our eyes on that, of course. But that news just dropping moments ago. Alina Habba, things not looking good for her over in New Jersey. But let's bring things back to D.C. as many of you guys know, this week, we're actually, today and tomorrow, I'm going to be bringing you the show from D.C. I've been credentialed as an independent journalist to cover the Pentagon, and that is exactly what we are doing here. And I've got a lot of questions to ask both the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, as well as the press secretary for the Pentagon, Kinsley Wilson. We look forward to doing that. Plus, I've got a ton of exclusive interviews that we're going to be bringing to you and releasing on Thursday morning with some incredible officials over at the Pentagon, some friends, some new faces. And I look forward to bringing you that again. That will be Thursday morning. Just to give you a programming note tomorrow, though, Harrison Smith filling in for me. I will be hosting War Room tomorrow. We have a ton of just great people joining me on the sets here in D.C. tomorrow for War Room. So we're excited to bring that to you. But let's bring things back down to the Afghan issue, the issue that we've been talking about throughout today's show. As many of you guys know, the Biden regime shuffled in thousands of individuals, both vetted and unvetted, as they claim. And these individuals are turning out to be our worst nightmare. These are people who, although they claim to work with us while we were fighting over in Afghanistan, a lot of these people weren't actually working with us. No, they weren't. We're learning more and more about this. And according to the New York Post, I want to get this up. I want to keep drilling this point home because this is just a very small portion of the issue. The Biden regime working aggressively hard to hide all the facts from us, so we didn't know how awful the people they brought in were. According to the New York Post, they looked and obtained a DHS document which said that there were more than 5,000 Afghans brought into the United States after the failed withdrawal that were, quote, national security issues. That is a key point to all of this. Now, when you see the number is getting, you know, kind of broken down a bit, it really highlights a very clean five apparently had these national security concerns. 956 of those people had public safety concerns, and 876 were flagged for fraud. So when the media reports on this terrorist who attacked these two guardsmen in Washington, D.C. last week, and they tell you, oh, he's 29 years old, and they give you background, you actually don't even really know his age. You don't even know his age. And he doesn't look 29 years old. He could tell you whatever he wants to tell you, because the reality of it is nobody asked for documents. They didn't have documents. They let him in anyway. And I've been reporting on this in regards to not just Afghans, but illegal aliens coming into our border. Kristi Noem, obviously DHS secretary in clip 25, detailed that a lot of these individuals being brought in were vetted and unvetted. But this is very clear for the American people to understand. Listen to her words, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Take a listen.
I just want to be very clear about this, because his asylum was approved in April of this year on the Trump administration's watch. So just to be very clear, was there a vetting process in place to approve that asylum request?
Yeah, the vetting process all happened under Joe Biden's administration.
But was he vetted when he was granted asylum?
Vetting is happening when they come into the country, and that was completely abandoned under Joe Biden's administration. That's the irresponsibility that has completely devastated our country, Kristen, put us in such a dangerous position. I don't think people realized when Joe Biden was in the White House exactly how he was allowing our country to be infiltrated with people that we didn't know who they were. Okay. Some of them we did know were dangerous, and we went after as soon as they came into this country. But under this program, we could have up to 100,000 people that came in from Afghanistan that may be here to do us harm. Okay. And President Trump is absolutely dedicated to getting them out of our country.
That's the key point to all of this, folks. Listen, we could sit here and say vetted, unvetted. The reality of it is they're telling us that this individual who they shuffled in just recently was granted asylum, that he was someone who didn't have any severe red flags that would have thrown up in the system that would have stopped him from getting asylum. So does it even matter anymore when we sit here and go back and forth and say vetted, unvetted, vetted, unvetted? At this point, I don't even know if you could trust any of them. Joining me to discuss is Mark Lucas. Obviously, many of you know him because he's a frequent guest on this program. He is the founder of Veteran Action, and he is an ally to us, of course, and we're honored to have him on the program today. I want to thank Mark for being here. Mark, thank you for joining me. We're kind of digging into a lot of this, and we're trying to dig into how this even happened in the first place. But I want to get to the core argument here. We continue to hear individuals say vetted and unvetted, but the reality of it is the suspect in this case is someone who they said wasn't radicalized until he arrived here on U.S. soil, that he worked with the CIA prior in Afghanistan, and then all of a sudden became radicalized here in the United States. So does it even matter if we vet these people in the first place?
These Afghans are unvettable. I served in Afghanistan in 2010 as an infantry rifle platoon leader, and we were tasked to partner with the Afghan National Security Forces. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest threats I faced every single day wasn't from Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or Haqqani. It was from my Afghan partners. We could not trust these people. I had to have, in these key leader engagements, when I would meet with Afghan elders, also just in regular meetings that I would have with Afghan officers, I would always have to have one of my squad leaders over my shoulder, holding his weapon in the low ready, watching the hands of all of my so-called allies. These people, we could not trust them. Many of the missions I would go on, when we were ambushed, it was because my partners were tipping off our location to the enemy. I had to conduct a named operation, which what that means is a significant operation to go after a high-value target. We had to bring our Afghan partners. That was forced upon us from our military leadership, that we could not leave the wire without an Afghan partner. We had to confiscate all the cell phones 24 hours before we loaded aircraft to take out this target building. And even when we got on the objective, we were greeted by Afghan village elders waving their hands at us because they had been tipped off that we were coming in early. So when you look at these Afghan people coming into our country, I say to people, they are unvetted. You know, we didn't know who we were serving with, but we'd give them weapons, we'd give them uniforms, and we just hope that they would fight a mutual enemy.
Yeah, and that's the big problem here, because I keep hearing these stories time and time again. There's a clip of Sean Parnell, who obviously now works over at the Pentagon. I'll be meeting with him and sitting down with him to do an interview on this, circulating about these individuals, how one of his troops, his fellow service members, was killed in his platoon because of their interpreter and because they were intentionally tipping off the enemy. And so this is a real, real issue. And it was always concerning because, you know, my dad served in Vietnam, and he believed one of our greatest failures was to not save those who helped them while they were fighting in Vietnam. But it doesn't seem to be the same way here in Afghanistan. It seems like a lot of these people, like you just detailed, you just outlined, although they were supposedly helping us, weren't actually helping us at all. And they were also working for the enemy. So it's a very, very serious and concerning issue. And one that has me wondering, well, who the heck did we let into our country in the first place? I mean, thousands of these Afghans quickly came into the United States, were forced onto our military bases, and we saw that the Biden regime was listing a lot of these assaults that were taking place, sexual assaults that were taking place. In fact, one involved a U.S. female service member. She was apparently assaulted by a group of Afghan men, and the FBI, sadly to this day, you know, I'll detail the very latest on it later on the show, because I've been digging into this for years now, but sadly, we have no idea what happened to those men who was accused of assaulting her. We don't know if they were released into the country. The story itself quickly was swept under a rug. There's no indictments that I could see of, and the FBI still to this day not telling me anything. But this is a common theme here. There is a problem with Afghan men and how they both treat women and children. And, you know, you recently posted a clip of you coming on our show. This was a couple of months ago, where you detailed this for us. But for our audience who missed it, I want you to kind of walk our audience members through what it was like for females that you served with in Afghanistan when they were just trying to carry out daily tasks, and what it was like to work around Afghan men for them.
Afghan men had no respect for women. As a platoon leader, I could not communicate with local Afghan women. So we would have females attached to us that were part of a female engagement team where they'd be able to talk to the Afghan women. And it just so happened to be that all three of my women were blonde, so they stood out. And we had to constantly protect them from Afghan locals and also from the Afghan National Security Forces that we were serving with. So we had to constantly protect them and provide a security detail because these local Afghans would just hover around them. And if we wouldn't have protected those women, they would have been beaten and they would have been raped. So I'm trying to explain to the American people, these are politically incorrect things to say, But if you ask me or any service member that served in Iraq and Afghanistan, we can tell you countless stories of why these Islamists are not compatible with Western civilization. We should not be welcoming them into this country. And some people were criticizing my post by saying, well, Mark, that's a very specific regional example of Afghanistan. Well, when we look at the migration to Europe, why do these crimes follow these Afghans? In the country of Sweden, you're more likely to be raped, 69 times more likely to be raped by an Afghan than a local Swede. If you come here to the United States, if you look at Minneapolis, Minnesota, a Muslim abducted and raped a 12-year-old girl. And that local mosque actually wrote a letter of support of that horrible human being that conducted that rape, and he received the minimum sentence. So I'm trying to explain to people that the Afghans that I saw overseas, they had no respect for our women. They'll beat and rape them. And we're already starting to see that happen here on United States soil.
Yeah, yeah, we are. And it's very hard for them in their own country to have any type of accountability when men, Afghan men or Muslim men as a whole, do commit violent sexual assaults. They usually need, I believe it's two male witnesses to account for any sexual assault. And so I don't think Americans really understand what we're dealing with here. And I highly recommend for those who want to learn more to read the Quran in that sense, too. If you just simply Google the violence that they are allowed to commit against women, especially non-believers, it is extremely alarming. And so many people think it's a myth. It's not a myth. Look for yourself. I literally bought the Quran myself. I've marked every single portion that calls for violence against both non-believers and against those who are non-believers and women, how it allows them to have them as sex slaves. And I don't think people really understand the issue that we're dealing with here. Of course, not all Muslims are bad people, but the reality of it is we really have no idea of understanding who's been radicalized and who hasn't been. And just based on their own writings, I am deeply, deeply concerned in all of this. I wanted to shift gears a bit as well, Mark, because a lot's been happening about Venezuela. We're hearing a lot of mixed reports. And again, you know, I'll be making my way over to the Pentagon later today to try to learn some more information about this. But we're hearing that there are 11 U.S. warships in the area, 15,000 troops in the Caribbean right now as the tensions continue to increase. We're going to play clip 26 for you because President Trump was asked about this yesterday. And he detailed what it was like for him to get on the phone with Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. Take a listen.
Causing a lot of problems.
Does your warning
and drugs.
Does your warning mean that an airstrike is imminent, or should we not read it that way?
Don't read anything into it.
The New York Times reported that you had a phone call with Maduro. Did you?
I don't want to comment on it. The answer is yes.
And can you tell us a little bit?
No,
about
I can't
it?
Do that.
Mr. President,
would you say it went well?
I wouldn't say it went well or badly. It was a phone call.
Okay, Mark, what's your take on all of this? Because I don't seem to understand why. I understand that Venezuela, obviously, is one of the massive drug trafficking hubs for us, and it's one that we should be pushing back on. But it sounds like with the threats to close down their airspace and now this, that we're looking for regime change. That's something that a lot of Americans don't support. But is there more here than the American people probably understand right now?
President Trump is fulfilling one of his campaign promises, and that's to protect the American people from these narco terrorists. We have had over 100,000 deaths last year due to fentanyl. And Senator McCormick in Pennsylvania, he's talked about how we've lost more people from the drug trade than we had in Vietnam. He mentioned that we lost 4,000 people from Pennsylvania alone. And the American people are being terrorized by these narcos and by these cartels, and we're losing hundreds of thousands of American citizens. So if you look at the real threats to the American people, it's not in Ukraine and Russia. The most imminent threat is this drug trade. So I think it's very responsible for President Trump to have these negotiations with Maduro, to have these phone calls. I know the deep state and a lot of these people from the failed foreign policy establishment, they love preemptive strikes with little to no dialogue. But President Trump is having that dialogue. He's being very specific about his intent. And I do believe that we will be able to have a good resolution to this, whether it's regime change, regime collapse. There's a lot of people talking about this. I think what President Trump wants is a peaceful transfer of power to ensure that there's stability in that country. But his responsibility, and Secretary Hegseth, is to protect our American citizens from enemies, foreign, domestic. And it's funny to see that these Democrats are having all these problems with President Trump trying to protect us from these narco terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the key point here, too. I mean, it's infuriating that, you know, Democrats find themselves throwing themselves on the sword for narco terrorists. I mean, this is what President Trump does. Their TDS is so bad right now, where they are willing to sit there and defend narco terrorists rather than ask themselves a tough question. Like, does President Trump have a point here? Should we be fighting for the American people rather than these cartels? Because that's exactly what they're doing right now. And speaking of that, that actually is a great segue into this next clip, clip 27, because Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, has been out there, and obviously he's one of the seditious six, but he has been out there and he's been pushing very, very hard to go after Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, because he's not happy that Hegseth has called him out on his video telling service members not to follow orders. Now, he's telling them that they could, you know, just figure out whether it's a legal order or not on their own and then decide if they want to follow it or not, which is obviously not something that you want from your military service members. But I want you to take a listen to this clip, because Mark Kelly is now threatening Secretary of War, obviously Pete Hegseth, for legal actions potentially that could take place in regards to these narco terrorists. Take a listen.
Have hearings. We'll have public hearings. We'll put people under oath. We need to get to the bottom of this. Hey, the U.S. military is, you know, the most powerful and effective, you know, military in the world. And we've got to be, you know, precise, and we have to be operating in accordance with U.S. law and international law, always.
Based on what CNN is reporting, what the Washington Post is reporting, do you believe if there was a second strike to eliminate any survivors, that constitutes a war crime?
It seems to. If that is true, if what has been reported is accurate, I've got serious concerns about anybody in that, you know, chain of command stepping over a line that they should never step over. We are not Russia. We're not Iraq. We hold ourselves to a very high standard of professionalism. And this is where I'm really troubled about this, is because I have so much respect for people in the United States Navy. I served in the Navy for 25 years, and there is no organization more professional than Navy SEALs. And they should be revered. And that's why I say I hope what I've heard about this strike is not accurate.
You mentioned that you are a captain in the Navy. If you received that order, would you have carried it out?
No. No, and I'm a guy who I have sunk two ships. You know, I've sunk an OSA-2 missile patrol boat in Kuwait Harbor, a Polokny troop carrier in the Persian Gulf during the first Gulf War. I never, in that situation, questioned whether those strikes were legal. We were given an order to do this. It was a time of war. These were Iraqi ships with Iraqi crew members who posed a threat.
Mark, what do you make of this? Because, again, he's really failing to outline what he deems as illegal orders that the president is forcing these service members to carry out.
Well, Mark Kelly needs to lawyer up, and he better hire a very smart attorney who tells him to get off the Sunday morning talk shows, because he is just digging himself deeper and deeper into this hole. When you look at Venezuela, I think you need to look at it through the lens of that Seditious Six video. They're telling people not to disobey or not to obey illegal orders, and they said it repetitively, and it was crafted by former CIA agents who understand how to develop propaganda videos, and it was all leading up to Venezuela. They want to undermine President Trump and Secretary Hegseth's ability to protect the United States of America. And I'd ask Mark Kelly, how does he feel about Barack Obama's drone strikes, an extrajudicial drone strike that President Obama conducted, killed two American citizens, which included a 16-year-old boy. I'll also challenge congressional Republicans who are looking at Venezuela and have question marks around these strikes. Where were you when President Obama conducted an unprecedented level of drone strikes? This is all politics. It has nothing to do with national security. All they're trying to do is obstruct and delay President Trump's ability to protect the American people. And Mark Kelly, he better lawyer up. I support President Trump and Secretary Hegseth's investigation into him. I believe that he should be recalled to active duty and put under court martial and investigated for what he has done.
Yeah. Well, what he's done, several other obviously members, lawmakers, what they've done over these last few days is absolutely egregious and really is could be considered treason. I know many of us, our audience, do believe that's the case here. Mark, thank you for all the incredible work you continue to do. We appreciate you joining us today, this morning, of course, because there's a lot going on all across the country. So it was good to have you on to help us understand. So thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, we're keeping our eye on a bunch of things going all well, happening all across the country. So thank you for joining us. Again, give Mark a follow on X at Mark Lucas USA. Give him a follow. He's a great follow, of course. And, you know, we want to kind of switch gears up a little bit. I actually just got an alert. Someone just sent it to me. The White House has started up a new web page, and it's quite the interesting one. The White House debuted a new section on Friday on their website. Now, I missed this. I just got this now. This section is called Media Offender of the Week, which will highlight one of the many fake news journalists and how they are misleading, biased, and they're looking to be exposed on this page. The site claims that the media misrepresents President Trump's call for members of Congress to be held accountable for inciting sedition by saying that he called for their execution. And then they go off to highlight and to call out one of the many, obviously, outlets that have done just that. Now, this is great because under the first term, I don't think the comms team over at the White House did a very good job pushing back on all fronts related to that. So this is refreshing, of course, to see play out. And so I thought that would give you a good little laughter. So every week, these White House so-called journalists, well, they're going to get called out on the White House website. I'm sure that's not going to be welcomed for them. All right, guys, we've got a lot going on over here. Like I told you, I've been investigating the Afghan so-called refugees who were shoved into our country by the Biden regime, and we don't know who these people are. Over the last few years, they've committed a lot of crimes, and I've been saving an archive, following all of it, and I'm going to break it all down for you, including one Afghan refugee who was extremely ungrateful and actually went after and was ripping a police officer and then tried shooting the officer. Now, obviously, that didn't go over well for the Afghan refugee, and he was shot and killed by law enforcement. But I've got the soundbite that you probably didn't hear in regards to how this man blames us, Americans, for why he can't support his family now. And then he said he probably should have fought for the Taliban when he was in Afghanistan. Yeah, that happened last year, of course. Plus, there's so many other cases we're going to get you caught up on regards to sexual assault that took place on the military bases all across the country, even outside of the military bases, with one happening in Montana in a motel by one Afghan refugee who claimed that this woman wanted him and he allegedly sexually assaulted his victim. I've been reaching out, trying to get some information on all of this. I'll break down the very latest. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesstore.com. That is how you keep us up and running and support our work as an independent platform over at alexjonesstore.com. So much for you to buy, especially because it's Cyber Monday. 60% off site-wide. Head on over to alexjonesstore.com right now.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on infowarsstore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air in the fight and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Oh, my God.